This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer. My partner, Wes Durham, is down here in the great state of Georgia. Wes, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Pack. Hope you had a good weekend. A little bit of rain. Did you get any of the Sahara dust storm deal?
You know, we get that every year, Wes. I don't know if you're aware of that. The Sahara dust storm.
I've heard that, but this year's bigger. It's bigger this year than it's ever been. Yeah.
Well, it's necessary. Kind of cleanse the atmosphere. And by the way, we got a little rain. But I am here to announce today that I had to take a COVID test. Another one. And it was different than the first one. It was different than the first one. Because we're going to talk COVID a little bit today because of a story that broke Friday late afternoon in Clemson, South Carolina. And that's obviously a big story nationwide with athletics and the world that we live in. But I had to take another COVID test, precautionary. It was very different than the first one. It was a double nostril move, which I was not expecting. And it didn't have the burn of the first one, Wes. Just saying.
Was this because of the Sahara dust storm? You had to take another COVID test?
No. This was a precautionary thing. I'm just being a good citizen. And negative, by the way. Me and Mrs. P are negative. So for people keeping score.
Double nostril?
It was and I did not expect it. I mean, I thought, you know, I'm a veteran of the drive-through COVID test now, and I knew what was coming. Head back, burn, twist, 5 seconds, good to go, cry for 15 minutes and get home if you can. That had nothing to do. First of all, the first test took all of, I was first in line at a reservation. This test was a drive-up, and it took me 2 hours and 45 minutes to go through the process. 2 hours and 45 minutes. And by the time I got to my turn, the guy says to me, of course, he's dressed in his outfit, and he says to me, which nostril would you like? I said to him, the one closest to you, because I'm thinking it's a one, you know, and you're gone. And he goes, well, we'll start with the other one. And I said, excuse me? He goes, well, yeah, we're gonna do this, we're going to put both the nostril, both of them. I said, what? And sure enough, bam, and it was up there for 15 seconds, tickle your brain. But, man, you know, you need to do it just to protect yourself. But, Wes, I'm telling you, scoreboard, Pac-Man 2, COVID, 0. That's the score. So back-to-back negative readings. So that was my weekend. That was the highlight of the weekend.
Did they offer any explanation as to why you got the double nostril, which appears to be like the platinum series of COVID tests, by the way, as opposed to just the single nostril COVID test?
I'm waiting for, you know, I read about the ones that they do it through the mouth. I mean, that's the one I want to sign up for. That's painless, right? All right, boom, gone. See ya. But the nostril thing, man, I'm telling you, whoo, it'll grab your attention if you're not paying attention. I'm just saying. But nevertheless, we're all healthy. We're all healthy here in the Packer household. So that's all good.
Mm-hmm.
That's the highlight of the weekend.
Well, congratulations on that, above all else this morning. Some weeks ago, by the way, on this show today, Syracuse Athletics Director John Wildhack is going to join us at 9 o'clock. We're looking forward to that visit for a lot of reasons. One, Walt the Crane has been removed from the dome renovation project, by the way. You remember Walt the Crane, the high crane that was over the top of the roof. Well, Walt the Crane is gone from the dome renovation project. So John Wildhack will bring us up to date on that, along with some other items as well. And we appreciate all the athletic directors that have joined us here in the last 3 weeks. Let me tell you that a couple weeks ago, we do these emails around the show. And they typically start a couple hours after the show ends, and they're in preparation for the next day and then for the remainder of the week and so on and so forth. Well, a couple of weeks ago, the Lumberjacks authored these emails, typically Josh Macri or Drew Brooks. And somebody thought it'd be a good idea, wasn't you or me, somebody thought it'd be a good idea if you and I compiled all-decade ACC football teams. And of course, now, they thought it would be a good idea if you and I did it, but we're the ones that actually had to do it. and it became arduous at best, dang near impossible at times. And at the end, we have crafted these all-decade, all-ACC football teams. Now, we'll get to your calls at 844-SAY-ACCN because we're going to start revealing what Pack and I came up with on offense in this hour. And then we'll get to the defensive side of the ball. And then I'm sure we'll have some rebuttal from fans either on Twitter or on phone calls because we're apparently pretty good at that here the last couple of weeks when we do – players that are flying under the radar surprise you. Apparently, we leave off about an average of 24 guys that people think are going to, you know, fill that category, Mark, because it's unbelievable what happens when, you know, our folks in social, Krista and Vance and some of that crowd, post these graphics out there talking about who, the players we've discussed. And then next thing I know, I've got like 35 people in my timeline telling me all the players we've left off. So anyway, we're going to do a decade team. Just to irritate you for the last 10 years, I think.
This was really hard to do. And I'm even shameful as this particular moment right now of a couple dudes that I left off this list that I would almost say, I don't know, you got to leave somebody off. There's a couple areas that are problematic. One, defensive end is problematic. Two, for me, wide receiver was problematic. Three, quarterback was hard. Picking one. Again, you don't get a chance to put two or three on it. You got to pick one. You know, offensive lineman's always tough because I think there's probably 20 guys you could put in here and you'd say, yeah, you know, guy was a great player and you should be on there. This was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I mean, I thought when the idea popped up, we're like, okay, great, no problem. Knock this out in no time. And Wes, I spent countless hours, and I would scribble. I got notes, like, all over the board. And I was like, how in the world are we going to do this? Because when you try to break down, again, you got to go back to 2010. This wasn't one of those, oh, yeah, in the last 3 years, Clemson's been great, put a ton of Clemson guys on there, and Florida State's had a bunch of great players in it. It doesn't work that way. I mean, you could start that way, and all of a sudden you start doing a little homework, and you realize, wow, man, back in 2010, 2012, 2014, there was some really great talent in this league. And so when we unveil this, it is guaranteed to tick some people off, and we will, I'm sure, former players will go there and go, I can't believe these two morons did not pick me on the all-decade team. We could probably have done a second and a third team and still had another dozen guys that you said, man, how in the world do you leave this guy off? Especially defensive end. I mean, I must have had 10 guys on defensive end. I'm like, well, how am I going to leave this guy off? How do you leave him off? This is an impossible task.
I absolutely right. I agree with you totally. I think that you mentioned offensive line. I mean, the thing I look for, and I'll share this with you here in the opening segment. The thing I look for was if you were first team all conference two or three times, you were kind of going on the list somewhere, right? I mean, your chances of going on that list are pretty good. But I would also say this, there's some one time all conference players that deserve to be on the list. I mean, that were just tremendous players, but maybe we're all-conference just a single time. First-team all-conference, by the way. If you were first-team all-conference two or more times, in my opinion, you had a strong chance of going on the list. That still being said, Pack, some guys got left off. I mean, you mentioned offensive line and defensive end. I mean, it's a hard process to go through. When you start, you know, scaling guys back and you think, man, oh man, that guy right there is really good. That guy right there was a first round draft pick. He was a, you know, All America player as a senior, All America player as a junior and went pro and was picked in the first round. I mean, there's all sorts of different dynamics at play here that make this really, really difficult. And I think that's kind of what you're going to see. We have a lot of the same guys. You're also going to see where we're at opposite ends of the spectrum on certain picks, too, I think.
Yeah, there's a couple two-time all-ACC offensive linemen that didn't make my cut. And I hate not putting them on there because they're just terrific players. But there's one player, Wes. Mm-hmm. There's one guy then I'm going to apologize to him right now because he needs to be on this list. And this one was the hardest pick. This was the hardest guy to leave off for me. And I'm embarrassed to say it. I am. I'm embarrassed to say it because I had him on there. I did this thing three or four different times. He'd be on it. He'd be off it. He'd be on it. And I was like, man, can I create a position to put this guy on because he deserves to be on there? But Rashad Greene, the wide receiver from Florida State, played 4 years. He was terrific. I do not have him on this list, and I'm embarrassed to say it. Rashad Greene is the hardest one for me.
I understand. Now, he made my list, but I'm with you. I got you. So I'll be embarrassed for who I don't have that you have. How's that?
Do you have one?
I feel sorry for Lamar Jackson. I feel sorry for Lamar Jackson.
I
feel sorry for Lamar Jackson. I know. The quarterback vote for me was the hardest vote on the board. Because you have three guys, and you got to pick one.
Yeah, we have three guys and two
one Heismans.
Got
to pick one, Pac.
Yeah, 2-1 Heismans and Deshaun
exactly.
Watson. So, Tag, you're it. You get only one pick. Mm-hmm. Where do you go? Use whatever criteria you want. That's a tough one.
Full disclosure, I did not submit my list till yesterday. I played golf about 40 minutes from my house yesterday morning. I was driving back and thinking about quarterback for better than half the ride.
But that one,
How am I going to pick quarterback?
Wes, while that's difficult, again, you got Jameis Winston, Heisman winner, Deshaun Watson, star, Lamar Jackson, Heisman winner. Mm-hmm. You get to pick one. But that wasn't the hardest. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the hardest category for me. It was not. Wide receiver and defensive end to me were the two most difficult spots to fill because there are so many tremendous players. I mean, unbelievable players. So we're going to have some fun with this.
All right.
And I guarantee you, when you see our list, you're going to go, these two idiots, how are they on television coming up with this list? But you know what? All I would tell you is before you rip us, do it yourself. Go do your homework. Don't just rapid fire in 15 minutes. I got my first team all decade. It doesn't work that way. Do your homework. Try to do it, and you're gonna understand the problem that we had trying to do this. It is very, very difficult.
Yeah, I would definitely do that. I would also tell you this. There are a lot of right answers and very few wrong answers when you do this. I mean, the problem is how do you split guys who deserve to be on and actually put them on, knowing that there might be four or five other guys that are just as deserving as the guys you vote for. I'll give you another one. All purpose was difficult for me. You got a guy who set punt returns and kick returns in Ryan Switzer, and you got a guy who set all purpose yardage records. You got two of those guys. It's crazy.
Now, I did not, for the record, I did not do an all-purpose. And if I could, I'm bringing Rashad Greene on first all-decade team. I will put him on there in some shape, way, form as a wide receiver and move somebody else who's in my wide receiver core. But I don't know Rashad Greene. I've never spoken to him.
But I want to
apologize to him twice in the first segment of the show because he deserves to be on
this
team. But I didn't have an all-purpose guy.
So
you created a position. So that may open the door.
No, it was on my list.
It might be on your list. It wasn't on my
list. It was on. Oh, paperwork of the Lumberjacks once again.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
I know you're going to get upset here in the next couple minutes because we're going to unveil our all-decade team, and I guarantee you there will be people that will be upset. That's a guaranteed block. John Wildhack. Well, join us coming up at the top of the hour, the athletic director at Syracuse. We always appreciate his time and insights. So looking forward to that. But this all-decade thing is going to be fun, Wes. But before we get into the names and numbers and all that stuff, you and I would both agree, though, that our coach of the year for the decade would be Dabo Swinney. I mean, what he's done at Clemson's, enough said, championships, national championships. They've been the standard. And so that was the easy one, right? I mean, that's a layup. You can't argue against that one under any circumstance that Dabo is your coach of the decade. And just to put things in perspective, we ran across a stat this weekend just to kind of show you just how good these dudes have been in the last 5 years. Look at these numbers. I mean, that's crazy good. Everybody on that list, crazy good.
Yep, absolutely. When you start thinking about 22-3, now Alabama's played 35 games, which is the most on the list, but the winning percentage of Dabo Swinney, 88, in the last 5 years against ranked teams, that's pretty salty, to be honest with you.
Amazingly, Colin Cowher didn't find USC in the top five there. I don't know what happened there. One of the worst takes of all time.
If you weren't with us on Friday.
Wow. Come on. What are we doing?
Oh, me. All right. You ready? So Dabo Swinney's the coach of the decade. We can all agree to that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome a team that does not feature Rashad Greene, Mark Packer's all-decade offense.
I apologize for that. We start at quarterback. You mentioned it at the top of the show. You got three guys to pick from. Lamar, Jameis, and the guy I picked, Deshaun Watson. This is a tough call, but you know what? Graduates in 3 years. I don't need to tell you about the championships. I don't need to tell you about what the guy does playing hurt. I don't need to tell you about what he does with his community work. Never in trouble. I just think that there was a standard by which he committed on the field and off the field that made the difference. That's why I went Deshaun Watson as my quarterback of the decade in the ACC. Again, no disrespect to the other two gentlemen who did win Heisman trophies, but I'll take Deshaun Watson, and I'll be able to sleep at night. So that's why I picked Deshaun. But, again, there's three really incredibly talented guys to pick from. Running backs. How about a little three-timer right there? A.J. Dillon, man, you make all ACC three times, you're in. Simple as that on all these rosters. A.J. Dillon's on my list. The dude was big, bad, strong, got an attitude, and can flat out get it done. A.J. Dillon's got to be on this list. Again, if you're a three-timer, you're going to be on my list. It's that simple. And there's a couple that make it on both the offense and the defense. We'll get to that later. The other guy, I went Dalvin Cook with Florida State. Man, I love this guy. I love watching him play. He could catch the football. He could run for days. Everything about this guy was big time. He was a two-time All-ACC player. Could play for anybody in the country. And like I said, man, it just didn't matter who he was playing against. He was gone. Here he is, the first play against Clemson. See you later. Ain't nobody going to catch me. That's a touch. Rearview mirror, boys. See ya. Even you too, ref. So there it is. I thought it was a no-brainer. All right, wide receivers. I thought this was a really difficult group. I got to go Sammy Watkins. And, man, let me tell you something. There's some dudes on here, and again, I apologize to Rashad Greene. Your numbers were awesome. But that number two, man, here's that man again. Man, he'd catch it, and he'd leave you alone. See ya. Sammy Watkins in the two spot, two-time All-ACC player. He's on my list. Guaranteed lock. All right, again, I'm going to pick three wide receivers. All right, three wide receivers. How about Jamison Crowder? Mm-hmm. Two-time All-ACC. He had 108 receptions in one particular year. Nobody in the history of the league comes close to that number. 108 he put on there. That's it. Duke wide receivers. Mm-hmm. So Jamison Crowder is on this list along with Sammy Watkins. And, man, he was a terrific. But all these guys are great. How about this move, though? This won't be a surpriser. Tyler Boyd. And you're thinking, Pack, wait a minute. Rashad Green, Nuke Hopkins, Mike Williams, the list goes on and on. And you picked Tyler Boyd? Yeah, I did. He was a two-time All-ACC player. Here's why. Only three players in the ACC have been ranked in the top 25 two times in terms of receiving yards in single seasons. Those three players are Jericho Cotchery from NC State in 02 and 03. Sammy Watkins did it in 11 and 13. And this guy, Tyler Boyd, did it in 13 and 14. So that's why he's in there. That's a tough call. Eric, I tell you what, how about Ebron, man? This was a big old dude. Mm-hmm. First round pick, goes to Detroit. And he was just so athletic. Again, there's a lot of guys I think he could pick in the league from a tight end standpoint. But I was really, really impressed with this guy. I just thought he looked like a wide receiver that just point a great block. And there goes Ebron. He's gone. Catch you later. But, man, this guy was a beast. And I love the tight end. Love the tight end. So that's why I got Eric Ebron, first-round pick in 2014. Now, offensive lines are hard. I mean, there's so many guys that could go in there. But I had Cam Irving two-time. He was a first-round pick in the 2015 draft. I went Anthony Costanzo. I mean, listen, Boston College has had so many great offensive linemen. This guy was a two-time All-ACC lineman, still in the NFL, by the way. He played in 2010. Mm-hmm. He's still in the league. Bradbury at NC State, there are a lot of centers you could go with. Dalton Freeman, Tyrone Crowder, two-timers from the All-ACC, didn't make this list. I love Jonathan Cooper. Every time I watch Cooper play at North Carolina, he just bloodied people up. And Trey Jackson was a tough pick, too. I mean, again, this is a really, really hard one. But Trey Jackson was a two-time All-ACC player. So there you go. I know people are going to scream about Tyler Boyd, but I gave you the reason why. And, again, apologies to Rashad Green. I just wanted to put him in there. But if you're going to give me one of those all-purpose players, maybe I'll put Crowder down there as all-purpose and put Rashad Green at wide receiver. But that is my all-decade offensive team right there. There it is. Well, it's hard.
The Rashad Green apologies have just flowed here in the first 20-some minutes of this show.
For him. But, I mean, when you look at Rashad Green.
What about Ty Streets?
When you look at, I'm telling you, there's a ton of guys here. But Rashad Green's numbers are spectacular. And he played on a great team. And, again, that's why I felt terrible about not putting him on. But I justified why I put Tyler Boyd on there. I mean, Jericho Cotchery, Sammy Watkins, Tyler Boyd are the only ones on that list. Yeah. That's strong.
I got you. Yeah, I got you. That's strong. You made your point. Rashad Green's sitting over there going, really? Really?
Yeah, but he can't be mad at me. I've apologized to him four times already. And I had him on the list half the times, and he'd be the first guy to take off. But, again, I didn't know about this all-purpose thing you guys drew up in the middle of the night. If I knew that one, I could have figured out a way to get Rashad Green on that list.
What do you mean we drew it up in the middle of the night? It was on the email.
Didn't see it. I'll tell you what. Now that you're telling me it was on there, can I go ahead and put Crowder, all-purpose, Rashad Green as a wide receiver?
No.
Why not?
No. I mean,
you can't have it both ways,
because
Durham.
You submitted your... Oh, look, this is not the only thing that you have, created your own revisionist history on, or writer's embellishment, I should say. Writer's embellishment.
So can I get an all-purpose player or not? Yes or no?
That's not for me to decide. That actually has to go through the lumberjacks.
Well, whoever wants to make an executive decision, can I get an all-purpose player, yes or no?
All right. I would say in my world, I'll give you an all-purpose player, but it's really not my decision because the Lumberjacks set the task.
Let me get somebody of authority that can answer the question since you can't handle it.
I'm going to say no. Still got the mask on. I'm going to say no for one reason and one reason only. It was part of the original email, and you sent like 12 revisions. And not one time did we put an all-purpose guy on your revisions. So because of that, we're going to say no.
Appreciate that.
But I can't believe you left Rashad Green off your list.
Hey, Rashad, you know what? See what I'm going to put up with, Rashad? I had you in there, man. But no. Drew Brooks, Wes Durham
no,
said
didn't.
No. So, Rashad, here's the deal. If you're watching this or your buddies are watching this, you're going to say, listen, man, they did the all-decade team and you weren't on there. But Packer wasn't you on there. But they both, those other two guys said no way. So... there it is. I feel better about myself already. There it is. I can't wait to see Durham's team.
This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Hello. This is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Rashad Green knows he's got a friend in me, but the rest of the show has just turned on him viciously. viciously, not allowing an all-purpose selection on my behalf. All right, by the way, before we get to Wes's picks, we'll give you mine again so you can rip it sideways, left and right. There it is. And if we had enough space, AP, I would have switched Crowder for AP, and I would have put Rashad Greene at wide receiver, just for the record. All right, so there you go. All right, Wes Durham, tag, you're it. Good luck. I'll keep my mouth very, very shut here for the next 10 minutes.
All right, so let's start with the quarterback quandary, shall we? In fact, I just heard from a former ACC quarterback a couple segments ago. You get a scenario where Lamar Jackson won a Heisman, Deshaun Watson won a national title, and the guy that won both is Jameis Winston. From the first ball game on Labor Day night at Pittsburgh when he lit up the Panthers all the way through the rest of that season, Jameis Winston helped Florida State win the national title. And here is the throw in the flat, or that's the Kelvin Benjamin touchdown to win it against Auburn. And Jameis Winston is my all-decade quarterback. Running backs, I'm telling you, two-time ACC player of the year already with one on the house to go, Travis Etienne. I couldn't leave him off the list. Just couldn't do it. There's too much productivity there, and I think the best is yet to come because I think he's got a chance with now the injury problem at wide receiver for Clemson with Ross. I think Travis Etienne is sparked for a huge 2020, and he makes my all-decade offense at running back. So does Dalvin Cook. Pack already told you. I just thought the guy was incredibly explosive at Florida State. I thought he was undervalued as a college player until later in his sophomore season. And then as a junior, he just exploded again. So Dalvin Cook is the running back. And I didn't have, and A.J. Dillon, I apologize. Three times all ACC, but Dalvin Cook and I had to give Travis Etienne some love. I just think Travis Etienne's going to end up being one of the best running backs of the decade. Sammy Watkins is clearly one of the best wide receivers of the decade. It seemed he could take the top off of every play, the explosiveness, the athleticism, and certainly the speed made Sammy Watkins an easy choice. I bet Maryland doesn't miss that. I bet Syracuse doesn't miss seeing that either. But Sammy Watkins was easy. My second wide receiver, you may have heard of Jamison Crowder. Pack, I just keep coming back to big plays. I thought Crowder made big plays for Duke, helping them get to the ACC championship game. I think if you go back, there are two players on this all-decade team that I think helped David Cutcliffe's program turn the corner. And Jamison Crowder is one of those guys. I always felt like Crowder was the guy that just made that team go. Here's Rashad Greene. You've heard about him already.
My man.
He's the star of the half hour of the Packer and Durham show. Absolutely your man. Rashad Greene, I mean, I'm just telling you, I really don't know how you leave him off, to be honest. I mean, he's every play a little bit like Sammy Watkins. I thought he was Florida State's version of Sammy Watkins. I really did. I just thought he had a chance to take every play to the house. Whether it was in traffic or whether it was on a post, I just thought Greene was that dangerous. So Rashad Greene for me was an easy choice. Tight end. This guy was a monster, Pack. He was Carolina's leading receiver 2 years. Think about that. The tight end. Because they could line him up anywhere. I thought he got off to a good professional start in Detroit. I think he'll be sensational in Pittsburgh. That's a pretty good block, by the way, on the perimeter. Eric Ebron was, and again, I'm thinking about Brevin Jordan. I'm thinking about Bucky Hodge at Virginia Tech. There are a lot of really good tight ends. So my all-purpose is Greg Dortch of Wake Forest, who turned pro early, and he had an injury that cut short his junior year, but I thought Greg Dortch was a sensational player. Remember, he led the ACC in all-purpose yardage as a wide receiver and as a return man. The offensive line, Mitch Hyatt started for the entire decade at Clemson, Pack. I'm pretty sure, right? I thought Mitch Hyatt started for 10 years at Clemson. Cam Irving, tremendous player. Garrett Bradbury, originally a tight end at NC State, ends up winning the Outland Trophy, or the Remington, I should say, as the center for the Wolfpack. And then the two guards now, Laken Tomlinson is a critical piece to Duke's offense and their championship run, or their divisional championship run to the championship game, rather. And then Amorge Uzi was a two-time All-ACC first-team pick out of Georgia Tech for a team that finished top three in the country both years in rushing. I thought he was one of the three best offensive linemen Paul Johnson had in his 11 years in Atlanta. So that's my all-decade offensive team rebuttal.
You, my friend, need to turn in your ACC card. There's no way that you can have a guy make three-time all-ACC and not be all-decade. I don't care the position, don't care the school, don't care what he graduated in. Three-time all-ACC and did not make the all-decade team. How does that happen? I just want to hear that explanation.
Because I am betting the money that the running back at Clemson has a chance to be a three-time all-ACC player of the year.
That is true. However, Wes, we're talking about a particular decade. We're in a new decade. So everything that happens from today moving on has nothing to do with this list.
But, Pack, he's a two-time ACC player of the year right now.
Love him. Love him. Love him. Love him.
Okay.
But I'm telling you, there's somebody who made all ACC three times and doesn't even get a mention.
I understand.
I mean, Rashad Green's not on my team because of a technicality, because the guy that's talking right now didn't look at the email and didn't see AP. Had I seen that, it made sense. Hey, Rashad Green's on my list, but you cannot leave off a three-time All-ACC player in one snapshot of the decade and say, not good enough. That's impossible. That's impossible. Hello? Is this thing on?
Two-time.
Did Wes disappear?
Two-time ACC player of the year.
He's a big-timer. Ain't no doubt about it, my man. I'm agreeing on that.
Two-time ACC. And I thought Dalvin Cook was the most important player in this league for 2 years. Maybe a year and a half for sure. Dalvin Cook was an incredible football player.
He's a player. Now listen, everybody.
AJ Dillon's a wonderful player, Pack.
Yeah. How? By the way, I got another issue with your list. If I said to you Boston College football, what is the first thing that pops in your head?
Right. About the decade. Luke Kuechly.
Okay. We'll get to him because I believe we both have him on the list. All right. But I think about.
Well, because there ought to be an investigation if we don't.
Right. Like there should be on some of the other picks, which people are going to rip us for. But I think of great offensive line play. They've had great offensive linemen at VC. Right? Would we agree on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't have
no question. And I struggled with Anthony Costanzo and also Chris Lindstrom. Right. I struggled with those two. Boston College, there were three offensive linemen. And by the way, they've got another one right now who might be the very best of all of them, Tyler Vrabel, who's a freshman All-America. I struggled with the offensive line. And the reason that I went with who I went with, Garrett Bradbury to me, and you're right about the center position, Dalton Freeman, all those guys. I mean, there have been really good centers. Jimmy Morrissey at Pittsburgh right now, a tremendous center with a year to go. He was on my list. Mitch Hyatt had, every snap except two in his entire career at Clemson? I mean, he snapped when Eisenhower was in office. He played football at Clemson when Eisenhower was in office. So I think Mitch Hyatt had to be on there. Garrett Bradbury, he was a lock. He won a national award. Cam Irving and Trey Jackson, to me, were the two pushes from Florida State. And then I had Costanzo and Chris Lindstrom. Now, Lakin Tomlinson and Amorge Uzi, I got to be honest with you. Lakin Tomlinson, to me, there are three guys I think responsible for Duke winning that Coastal Championship. Tomlinson was one of those guys. Crowder's one of those guys. And the other one is on my defense. The way I look at it is there's a reason certain teams are successful. Amorge Uzi made the list. Yeah. Did I see his snaps? Yes. I saw all of them. And I thought Amorge Uzi was a tremendous offensive guard. And as a result, he made my list because Georgia Tech was, you know, top three in the country and running the ball when he was there. But the offensive line became an issue for me because of the guys we talked about. And you mentioned this earlier. I mean, you had Jonathan Cooper. I mean, Jonathan Cooper was a great player. So was Tomlinson and Uzi. I mean, it's crazy how good the offensive line play has been in this league. Yeah, and going to be this year, I think, too.
Yeah, I mean, Cooper was the seventh pick of the 2013 draft. And trying to figure, again, when people start getting on our case, and they will, which would be fun, but I would just suggest before you have a whole lot of fun with our picks, try it yourself because this is a really fascinating process because you were going to do what I had papers all over the place going, well, how in the world am I going to leave off Tyrone Crowder? He was a two-time All-ACC player. Dalton Freeman, two-time All-ACC player. Travis Etienne, enough said, but I mean, I got to make a pick here. I mean, Rashad Green, again, I've apologized four times. I don't have to do it anymore because you guys absolutely hosed him. So, I mean, this is really, really hard to do. The quarterback situation, Wes, you could spend hours debating Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Jameis Winston. You got to come up with some kind of standard to break the tie on these, and you'll find out when we do the defense, it's the same old, same old. It's the defensive end position, forget it. I mean, we could have come up with 20 guys. Yeah. You know, you said, man, every one of those guys are really, really great players. But you only can pick a couple. It's hard to do.
Yeah, it's impossible to do, and we'll take your calls at 844-SAY-ACCN. I'm sure the good folks on the ACC social network will push out these lists. Thanks. but it's hard to do now. I mean, and you'll see more of it on defense in the 9 o'clock hour when we reveal the defensive side of the ball. But I was surprised we had as many of the same as we did. I knew some would be different. And by the way, Lamar Jackson didn't make it.
How about that? I mean, seriously.
Louisville. Lamar. Yeah. No offense. Sorry. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
You got to pick one. I mean, good luck. But I'm going to just tell you this moving forward. If you're a three-time All-ACC-er, you got to be on the All-Decade team. I don't know how you eliminate that. I really don't.
Packer and Durham.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
Yay!
What?
Yay, yay, yay.
We could sleep in another half hour?
Yay.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Yay, yay, never.
And you'll change yourself, too?
Yay, yay.
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
John Wildhack, Director of Athletics at Syracuse, joins us coming up at the top of the hour. Mr. Durham, during the weekend, while I was passing with flying colors, another COVID test, I received a package in the mail. Now, I just slid open this bad boy right here. So I figured we'd open this thing again. You just never know. And I really have not, I have no idea what this is. Here, Fuller, chew on that. You love that. Oh, boys love this stuff. We have a note from Pittsburgh.
You want to read the note?
You want to read the note first?
You know what?
You know it's official when you got one of these in the back, right? You know it's official
That's
when you got
exactly
one of those
right
there. Right? That makes it big time right there. All right. Here's the deal. Pitt, nice stationery like that. Our bud, Heather Light, Director of Athletics. Dear Mark and Wes, Packer and Durham. Now, she wrote that before we found out we changed the name of the show to Ace and Coco after our interview with Bronco Mendenhall Friday. She says, thanks for having me on your morning show, and most importantly, for all the great work in promoting the ACC and adding great value to ACC Network. Hope you enjoy the new Pitt Lego set in our new colors, and it looks good in the basement. All the best to both of you, and stay well, Heather. All right, there you go. So this is...
Do you have to assemble this? Is this done, or do you have to assemble it?
I told you, and listen, people think, oh, you guys are already opened this stuff up. I have not opened this thing up at all. Can you see that?
You have to assemble this, because if you do, it'll be an all day.
It'll be, I'll tell you, if I have to assemble it, it'll be around Christmas time before it's ready. Here we go. I tell you what, it's not going to break. I need scissors or something.
Do you? Is that it? You should call Rashad Green. I bet he's got some scissors.
I tell you what, by the time I get it open, Rashad Green will be the all-time greatest player in the league at this rate. Oh, this looks sweet. Oh, this is nice. Look at this. All right.
Don't mess it up.
I'm not going to mess it up. Hey, you notice I get... wait a minute. Before I get any further, you notice today I did not cut myself shaving. So I'm on a roll today. Passed the COVID test.
It's because you cut your hair.
Yeah, I got a haircut. That didn't take me 2 minutes.
You got a haircut. You got the Flo-Bi out. You got the Flo-Bi out and got the haircut.
Look at this. Oh, how sweet is this right here?
Oh.
I don't want to break it. Pitt.
Please.
How cool is that? That looks great, right? Lego.
Very nice.
Thank you, Heather. Looks awesome. We will certainly
display
that front and center. I'm going to make sure so people can see it. Maybe I'll take down this Wes Durham picture. No, I wouldn't do that to you. You know why I wouldn't? I would do it to you.
Uh-oh.
I wouldn't do it to Vicky.
Bless your heart. That's right. You're right. That's exactly right.
How about that right there? Pitt.
Nice. Well, you covered up Vicky at Grant Field. Yeah. Don't tell John Curry you got to move the Deacon.
Hey, we're trying to appease to everyone here, right?
I know we are.
We'll cover up that golf swing of yours.
Vicky's, yeah.
Here it is. Is that
that's
better?
That's Royal Troon, by the way. Be careful.
Yes,
that's better. That. Nice job.
Forget Royal Troon.
All right.
Awesome. All right, boys.
Well done.
It's good. It's a good thing Mecklenburg County's picking up and recycling tomorrow at the Packer House, because this is where this is going. Right here. All right, boys, that's all y'all. Chester and Fuller are fired up.
All right, congratulations. By the way, if you missed our Friday show, we were able to visit with John Swofford, the commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference, who announced late Thursday morning that the 2020-2021 academic year will be his 24th and final year as the commissioner of the ACC. And he was good enough to spend a good bit of time with us on Friday, and we talked about decisions that had to be made, but really – expansion and the process of expansion on two separate occasions and what it meant to the ACC.
I'd have to say expansion, because there's so many other things that wouldn't have happened had we not expanded. That was something that was critical to the league, and some people understood it at the time and some people didn't, and that's understandable. But looking back at it, there's so many things that would not have occurred had we not taken the steps along the way to expand the league and strengthen our footprint and strengthen ourselves from a football standpoint while maintaining basketball. So expansion would be the one word answer to that. The grant of media rights came along with that ultimately, and that was critical. The Orange Bowl agreement came along with that, and that was critical. The ACC network came along with that. Ultimately, that would never have happened without expansion. So in a nutshell, expansion, with those few caveats I added to it, that came about because of expansion.
That answered the question, didn't it? And expansion really did have a trickle-down effect on so many other things. And the grant of media rights, as we discussed a lot on Friday's show with the commissioner, he's done an amazing job. But there's still work to be done. I can't emphasize that enough. And the commissioner will be the first one to tell you, we've got some huge hurdles from an athletic standpoint right in front of us. Name, image, and likeness, what's going to happen with college football. If we have a season, how long is it going to be? What's the trickle-down effect on Olympic sports? I mean, these are fascinating times that we're living in right now. So Commissioner Swofford's done an incredible job, an amazing run. It'll be 24 years before he decides to go play golf every day. And we'll miss him in this league. But the transition to the next person, whoever that may be, will be another fascinating storyline that we'll follow here coming up in the next year.
Absolutely, Mark. I think the other thing, too, is there are some challenges, and he talked about there are always challenges along the way. What folks have seen since March is the business of college athletics play out. And I think that's one of the things where the ACC certainly wants to try and improve their stock in the market, if you will. And by doing that, this network will be important. The relationships with bowls and businesses and things like that as we move forward going to be critically important to the ACC as it tries to keep its spot at the table. And we all know there are five A5 or Power 5, if you will, conferences, Notre Dame's involved. But really the front end of college athletics is kind of be an open book here to folks really for the first time. And I think that's important to keep in mind. The business of college athletics is now being showcased in a way that it hasn't before. You mentioned name, image, and likeness. I'll go along and tell you, I think multimedia rights with these individual institutions are going to be, there are going to be things that are being looked at now in a different light coming off the pandemic. So, yeah, they're going to be issues certainly for the new commissioner, for Commissioner Swofford in his final year in the ACC. And you're right. Let's keep our fingers crossed here on a full athletic calendar because those are dollars and cents that are going to be critical to each of these institutions, let alone to the conference as well.
We obviously have ACC on the brain, obviously, on this network. But you see a story like Morehouse mm-hmm. College on Friday just say, hey, you know what? We got to shut this down. COVID-19's just all but eliminated, I think it was cross country and obviously their football season for the fall. And they won't be the only mm-hmm. one. I mean, this is an incredibly tough time. And anybody sitting there at home, hey, when you have 41 million people lose their jobs and you have the uncertainty of what a college football season is going to look like. And I'm still optimistic that we're going to have one, but I could not tell you today on June 29th when and how long it's going to be. And I know John Waldhack's going to join us here momentarily. And I mean, these are things that every athletic director, every commissioner in the country is looking at multiple options on the table about what do you do with season tickets? How do you do a season? How about bringing everybody back, trying to stay healthy? There are so many issues going on right now. Like I said, it's as fascinating a time right now in college athletics as I can ever remember as an adult.
No, I'm with you on that part, and I think that's all those are markers to keep in mind. The other aspect of this is while everybody is talking about the number of positives that are being diagnosed in some of the testing that's going on these returns to campuses, let me remind you that testing's not free. There are schools, and Mark, you know this, allocating seven figures to testing next year for an academic year to make sure that their institutions are safe and, in particular, their athletic programs are safe for this kind of competition to begin. And, you know, we mentioned it at the top of the hour. There's now a story about marching bands and how the bands at games and other affiliated armchair companion activities that go with football. How are those going to take place? And a lot of that is going to be determined on the dollars and cents and the simple finances of this. And this is not an easy undertaking from that perspective at all, I don't think.
You're right about that. But one guy that can give us some insight is our next guest. That'll be John Waldhack coming up here at the top of the hour.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.